Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. More signals from Israel that its war with Hamas could be on the verge of escalating. ABC's M. Nguyen has details.
Israeli military officials urging Palestinians to evacuate parts of the southern Gaza city of Rafah ahead of an expected ground offensive by Israeli forces into the city, where more than a million civilians have sought shelter during the war.
The wars continue to fuel protests on American college campuses. Over the weekend, police cleared an encampment at the University of Southern California. At the University of Virginia, more than 20 people were arrested. Heavy rains and flooding in the Houston area now blamed for one death. A four-year-old boy died after he was swept from a car. Heavy storms and possible tornadoes a concern today in Oklahoma, Nebraska, and Kansas. And the third week of former President Trump's criminal hush money trial begins today. Prosecutors have not indicated their next witness. Trump has pleaded not guilty. This is ABC News. The parents of one of the teens caught on video dumping garbage from a boat off Boca Raton, Florida last week are now apologizing. Two of the teens surrendered to police. Still on track for the first manned flight tonight for Boeing's new Starliner spacecraft.
The two astronauts who will be on board are test pilots. Never before has Boeing's Starliner carried humans to space. It's had missteps getting to this point. While SpaceX has sent its Dragon capsule to space with humans a dozen times, now humans will be on board Boeing's design. NASA Administrator Bill Nelson, who went to space himself on the shuttle in 1986, tells me he'll be white-knuckling it tonight.
Remember, this is a test. This is not your normal Dragon launch.
Alex Stone, ABC News.
A new world record in France where bakers baked a baguette longer than a football field. It took a special oven to bake the 461-foot bread. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden returns to Wisconsin Wednesday. He'll talk about his economic policies in Racine. It will be Biden's eighth visit to Wisconsin since the midterm elections. Donald Trump was in Wisconsin twice in a month's time. Polls show the race for Wisconsin's votes is a virtual dead heat. Wisconsin's newest sports betting venue is open. Sean Cullen runs the Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino Sportsbook in Milwaukee. He tells WISN-TV's Up Front he'd back legalizing sports betting statewide.
I would hope so, and we would hope so, but at the end of the day, that's up to the state. But, you know, we're obviously supportive of that.
The Forest County Pottawatomie signed an amended compact with the state 2 years ago that allows sports betting on tribal property. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers are going to Kansas City. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open up a three-game set tonight at Kauffman Stadium against the Kansas City Royals. The crew essentially tied for first place in the NL Central after being shut out in Chicago yesterday, 5-0 by the Cubs at Wrigley. Pat Murphy going to have to get creative with his starting pitchers as Freddy Peralta begins a five-game suspension for allegedly intentionally beaming a batter last week. NBA, the Bucks cleaning out their lockers as their offseason begins. Giannis telling reporters he was still several several weeks away from being ready to play, coming off that calf injury suffered April 9th against Boston. Damian Lillard.
It's definitely disappointing because you know how much better of a team we are when he's on the floor and how much things change when he's on the floor and you play an entire 82-game season. You go through training camp. You go through all the ups and downs of a NBA regular season and you get to the point where, all right, now we're going to play for everything and you're not whole. It's frustrating. It's disappointing, but, you know, it's part of the game.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A little patchy fog, otherwise sunny skies in mid-60s with light winds. Tonight, mostly clear, lower 40s. On Monday, mostly sunny, breezy southeast winds and highs near 70 degrees. There will be a chance of some showers and thunderstorms Monday night. It's 60 at our studios.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk to retired Major General Randy Manner about Project 2025 and what that could mean to American democracy. Hour number two, cars versus deer. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Avery's home for Matinair on air.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Monday morning, May 6th, 2024. Another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. Through the app, watching us on social media or on demand by podcast, it's nice to have you along to start off the week. And I've got a question for you. On this Teacher Appreciation Week, who was your favorite teacher? What was it about that teacher that, you know, made her or him so memorable? What was it that they taught you, or what was it about them personally that made such an impression on you? And by the way, along the same lines, in terms of Teacher Appreciation Week, no, we're not going to get into, you know, what teacher did you hate the most, but was there a teacher who may not have been your favorite necessarily, but one you still remember to this day? One, a teacher that is particularly memorable, maybe because of, you know, language, the things that they said in class, or the little quirks about their lessons, or something about them. What made a memorable impression from a teacher as well? We're getting near the end of the school year, and it's going to be great to talk about and just think about the teachers who made an impression on us. And by the way, if you are a teacher and getting set for another day at work, well, we just want to thank you. Thank you so much. There is just no way to convey, you know, the appreciation that people have that does not get conveyed to you in the moment because you're dealing with, you know, what I would say lovingly is idiot kids, you know, like me. But then we get to be adults and we look back and, you know, may not ever get to give you that thank you personally, but you made that impression. And if you would like to join us along the way, either tell us a story about a favorite teacher or a memorable teacher, or even give that teacher, you know, a personalized shout out right here on live statewide radio. Well, here's the phone number, 855-75-CIVIC. Again, 855-75-CIVIC. You can call it. You can text your message to that same number, or you can use the Civic Media app to do the same thing, or comment on Facebook, where you will find us as well. Later on, we're going to be talking to Mary Mazzio. She's the film director from the documentary Bad River. We talked to her several weeks back when the documentary was first coming out, and it spread much farther than anticipated, with many more screens in many states. A lot of people want to see her work chronicling the legal fight by the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa against an aging Enbridge petroleum pipeline and its presence not just on tribal land, but in a sensitive environmental area. And whether that pipeline is going to be rerouted or whether it's going to be shut down, And frankly, not to be alarmist, but is any of that work going to get done before there's any kind of a breach? You know, that pipeline has ruptured, you know, in other places previously. And so the film itself has received a lot of attention. And so we'll catch up with Mary about the film's popularity and also about the case. We'll talk to Dr. Kristen Lyerly. We will talk to Selena Heller, who, by the way, her daughter, Emery, is a bit of a journalist herself. On this Teacher Appreciation Week, she talks to her kindergarten teacher and her principal and interviews them with a couple of questions. So you'll want to hear all about that. And, of course, it's a Monday, so Civic Media News Director Terry Bell will join us with three things you need to know to start off the week all across Wisconsin. Temperatures all across Wisconsin run like this. It's 42 here and sunny and bright and gorgeous on Lake Wasota. It's 41 in Hayward. Park Falls is at 37. Wausau, 45. Green Bay, 44. La Crosse is at 45. Wisconsin Rapids, 43. Oshkosh, 45. Madison, 42. And it's 45 degrees in Waukesha at the headquarters of the Shaw WAUK Radio, where we find Greg Bach, who every day gives us something new and colorful to talk about on his T-shirt. And it appears to be blank today. Is that a Cabela's logo?
It's a Cabela's logo. I'm wearing a nice comfy Cabela's hoodie today. It was on sale, and I like it. It's like a big blanket.
Nice.
Because it's right. Chilly in the studio today. My hands are cold.
I always hesitate to ask about your weekend because I know you crazy person. You work all the way through it with the comedy club and everything else that you do. But how'd it go?
It was fun. It was fun. I won't lie. Fridays was a weird show. Sometimes you have weird audiences, but they were fine. But Saturday's shows were really, really fun. The lineup was great. We had a good time. And then yesterday was Sunday's usually my day off. But there's always stuff to do. So we straightened up the house a little bit because the moms were coming over. My mom and my mother-in-law mm-hmm. came over. And then the four of us, along with my wife, went to go see my niece, Star. She was one of the stars. She wasn't the star, but she was one of the leads in the Lakeside Players rendition of Seussical the Musical at the Rhodes Theater in Kenosha. So she did fantastic. We cried. It was the last show of the production, so we had a good time. Yeah, we had a good time. That's fun.
Do the moms get together very much?
Oh, my gosh, yes. You know the old trope of my mother-in-law, and oh, my wife doesn't get along with my mom.
Yeah.
Not us.
Not us either, no.
No, my mom and my mother-in-law, Patty, they are close friends. They travel together. They have lunch all the time. They are really good friends, and my mother loves my wife, vice versa, and same for me and my mother-in-law. I knocked it out of the park when it comes to in-laws. I love all of her family. They do a good job of pretending to love me, I think, because I'm kind of weird. It's not their fault. It's not their fault if they don't like me. But yeah, it's really just, yeah, you're same for you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've always said for years, and people go, oh, Pat, that's a funny joke. It's not a joke. If Sherry and I ever did, God forbid, ever divorce, Sherry would get my mom in the process. She loves her way more than her son.
Yeah. So. The amount of times I've oh, your mom texted me. I'm like, yes, she could text me.
But it's my mom.
Yeah, it's my mommy. Yeah. So, no, I'm very, very lucky. It's good stuff. I'm very thankful for, because that's a stress. That's a stress. That makes holidays hard. That just makes, that can make everything difficult. So, yeah. Of a good time. We had fun. We had some lunch. We gabbed.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came home. I'm like, I just want to go to bed. It's 4:30 in the afternoon.
I did it again. Well, I did it twice over the weekend. Once in the recliner watching the Brewers game and once in the car driving down to Target yesterday. It's just,
you fell asleep?
Completely cashed out. Just out.
Dr. Kreitlow was driving, correct?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes, I should clarify. Yes. That she was, and then you kind of snore yourself awake just as you're pulling into the Target parking lot, and I just kind of give her this look. I'm like, did I? And she's like, yeah, you did. Yeah.
I don't have a recliner at home. I have what's called a chair and a half, which is basically like half of a love seat, and That can make the biggest person feel tiny, and I feel so tiny in it, and I routinely doze off in that thing. Just head dropping back. Oh, and Bridge's like, go to bed. I'm like, okay.
See, I'm more like, I was listening. Like, no, you couldn't have heard yourself over that snoring. So clearly you're a liar. Because you worked so much, I'm guessing you didn't see, for example, the Kentucky Derby over the weekend.
I wouldn't have watched it had I had the time.
Yeah, no, well, just... same. We were in a local watering hole for somebody's birthday. Somebody was going to be, I don't know if it was a surprise party or not, but they said, hey, show up, you know, at the, you know, show up at the Shady Pine at 5:30. So we did, and the race was up on TV. And of course, being the society that we are, immediately somebody said, everybody throw in a buck and name your favorite horse. And so pretty soon, there were 20, you know, $1 bills on there. And mine was the one, Sierra Leone, that came in second by a nose. I don't know if you saw or heard about the results, but that was one of the closest races in years. And they literally had to wait for the photo finish to see the one that was, again, just a nose ahead. So, you know, again, I would not normally watch it, but you kind of get caught up in it when it's happening right in front of you.
I heard that a horse named Mystic Dan won it. And yes. Mystic Dan just sounds like a vape shop in Muskego.
I was going to say, somebody don't get in his van. Yeah. It's got shag carpeting on the inside, and that's not actually candy he's offering.
He's not the drummer of any local band. Don't trust that. He's not. He doesn't have to drive it.
Stay away from Mystic Dan.
Yeah.
There was also Saturday Night Live, and
yes,
you know, we sometimes on Mondays and Fridays we get into a little bit of a comedy vein of conversation here, mm-hmm. and we talked about the controversial remarks that Jerry Seinfeld made a couple of weeks back.
Ugh, about garbage.
PC and everything. Well, I was rather surprised when Colin Jost is doing a weekend update and says something about, you know, when you're opening when you're promoting a movie, sometimes you can get too much in the press. Here's a man who spends too much time in the press. And Jerry Seinfeld comes rolling out.
Ugh.
And to a wild applause. And I thought, well, this is good. He's going to somehow, you know, take some shots at himself about the stupid remark that he made.
Nope.
This is kind of a good way to rehabilitate, you know, that. No, not at all. Completely self-serving.
No.
You know, didn't even acknowledge the fact that, so it was just a pure movie pitch without any kind of, you know, follow-up to that remark. And it was really rather a put-off.
No, I agree. And that's the thing, is people who had that expectation, you don't know Jerry Seinfeld. He's been saying this stuff for years. He's been a whining billionaire about, I can't say what I want. What do you want to say? When have you been controversial? You talk about nothing on stage. And you, like, you talk about airplane food and your hotel rooms. And I don't even know if he talks about his kids.
Yes, kids.
Why are you whining? Why are you upset about anything? Your life is amazing, and you should be fostering new comedians. It really put me off. I was really bothered that he introduced Dua Lipa, and then he's on stage with them. Because I tweeted this out. I said, what's weird is that the things that Dua Lipa stands for in her music, in interviews, and just life, she's very progressive, very inclusive, very about living your best life. He would just rail in the media about those opinions. So seeing them together was like, ugh.
And by the way, she did a great job of also noting that her parents were in the crowd.
Yeah.
And telling a little joke about them as well. And I thought that was adorable.
I like that
part of it.
Dua Lipa has three accents. Her English accent, a Brooklyn accent, and then just like, you know, just another New York accent. Those were the only accents she had. Those. But it was fun. Right. She was fun. It was not a lot of people can pull off double duty.
A lot more to talk about right after this, live from the Civic Media Radio.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
800-281-8193.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Water World, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Seeger is 79 years old today, so there's going to be a whole lot of Bob Seeger in your ears today here on Up North News Radio, from a guy that has sold more than 75 million records worldwide, one of the best-selling artists of all time. Bob Seeger inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2004, the Songwriters Hall of Fame in 2012, and again turns 79 years old today. Time for a check of sports here at 6:21, and of course, you know, now that the Bucks are done, we just have the Brewers to talk about for a little bit here. The Brewers went to Chicago for the first time since Craig Counsell left for the Cubs, and Craig Counsell got the better of the Brewers this week, winning 2 out of 3. The Brewers won on Friday, but then they lost on Saturday and Sunday, and all three games, they could not touch the Cubs' starting pitchers. They did all right against the bullpen and almost came back on Saturday, for example, did come back on Friday. But with the Cubs winning 2 out of 3, the teams are effectively tied at the top of the NL Central. The Brewers ahead just by percentage points. But the Brewers, with runners on against the Cubs starters, their batting average was 120 with no extra base hits with any runners on. So it's time for this young team to better appreciate what they're going to be facing in the Central Division this year and get set to head to Kansas City, where they've got games today, tomorrow, and Wednesday before returning home this Thursday to take on the St. Louis Cardinals. But you can listen to the Brewers in Kansas City starting at about 6:10. Pregame should get going on News from the Center in Richland Center, WRJN in Racine and Kenosha, Oshkosh Air Support, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. Wanted to give congratulations to a few folks for picking up some hardware over the weekend. The Wisconsin Broadcasters Association had its awards banquet over the weekend, and I don't have full list in front of me. I just know that our friend Chad Holmes put up a note that he was awarded second place for best interview in a medium market and talk radio for his discussion with author Kenneth Farmer and his book about a family broken up by schizophrenia. So again, congratulations to Chad for the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association honor. And the Milwaukee Press Club gave out some awards over the weekend as well, including a silver award to our friend Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area and to the great Angela Lang from Block in Milwaukee for a column that she submitted to the Recombobulation area as well. So congratulations to all of them. We mentioned on Friday that President Biden would be coming back to Racine, to Wisconsin this week, coming to Racine on Wednesday. There is no doubt that he's going to be talking about the economy and the continued growth in it from all kinds of data points on there. And it reminded me that on Friday, you know, the new jobs report came out. We actually conveyed it, you know, live at the time to Mark Jacob when he was visiting with us. And then later, I saw this compare and contrast on the way that, you know, media outlets will play the same news differently. So here's how the New York Times played out the jobs report on Friday morning. U.S. employers added 175,000 jobs in April, a downshift in the pace of hiring the unemployment rate ticked up to 3.9%. Then compare that to The Guardian, which has a headline that says, U.S. adds 175,000 jobs in April, the 40th straight month of gains as unemployment stays below 4% in the longest such streak since 1953. I think people at the New York Times, if they'd have put something in there like that, their heads might have exploded for fear of, you know, saying anything that could be construed by the far right as being friendly and supportive toward the president. Even though it's that kind of good economic news and that interpretation of it that most people aren't hearing. They're hearing that doom and gloom that you got from the New York Times headline saying, ooh, unemployment has ticked up to 3.9. Do you know where unemployment was 4 years ago today? I was going to share it in today's history lesson here, but it was in the mid-teens, you know, because of the pandemic that was going on. Ticking up to 3.8, 3.9% is something that, you know, 4 years ago, we didn't know if we'd see that again in 4 years or 14 years at the time. We have had the economic recovery that is the envy of the rest of the developed world post-pandemic. And yet public opinion polls would somehow indicate that that's, you know, not what people are seeing. You had Donald Trump being quoted before his courtroom hearing on his ongoing trial on Friday. And he was asked specifically by a reporter who shouted out, what's your plan for jobs? And he said, my plan for jobs is to drill, baby, drill, to bring energy down, to close up the border, to get rid of all the criminals that are being allowed into our country. You know, our country is being inundated with criminals. And he went on and on about criminals and immigrants and the border because he had no plan for jobs. He's never had a plan for jobs. I don't know how many different ways this can be conveyed to folks. He's never had a plan for jobs. He's never had a plan for health care. He's never had an infrastructure plan. It's all about demonizing somebody else and using, you know, fear or lying to get people ginned up one way or another. It's not necessarily working. Again, it's not building up, you know, a whole lot of new voters for Donald Trump, but it's still doing the rest of us a disservice when you actually want two different candidates offering you two different visions, especially in something like a jobs plan. Now, Biden's going to be in Wisconsin this week. He's going to talk about job creation. He's going to talk about probably the Microsoft data center that's going to be opening up on in the Racine area on the Foxconn site. All positive developments. If Trump or somebody were to have a positive jobs plan, then we'd have something to talk about. But instead, we're talking about Trump's trial. We're talking about, you know, the border as if that is a major factor in U.S. employment. It is not. And in fact, if we wanted to straighten out the employment situation in this country and address the labor shortage, we would be doing immigration reform. We would be doing a bipartisan border security bill. But that's the bill that Donald Trump, caused to collapse. Told fellow Republicans to oppose their own bill and still thinks that if he talks about it, people will say, yeah, let's elect this guy to do it. It's not going to work. It's just not going to work that way. So we'll find out from Biden on Wednesday what he's got to say about job growth in Wisconsin. And we'll see if eventually Trump comes up with a plan, although I really don't think so. I think he's got plenty of other things to worry about, like maybe not falling asleep in court as we begin the third week of testimony in his criminal trial on covering up hush money payments in order to, you know, hide facts and stories from the voters back in 2016. And testimony on that continues later today in Manhattan. All right. Who's your favorite teacher? Tell us about a memorable teacher. We'll have that discussion and more coming up next. You're up north.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. This is your hometown radio, refreshed.
keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
At this time of the year, you can never know too much about the weather forecast, and according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, we might be transitioning our weather patterns. I'm PM Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Brad Rippey is the drought monitor and author at the National Ag Statistics Service at USDA in Washington, D.C. He says the weather pattern is starting to transition right now from El Nino to La Nina. What does that mean?
For people that are getting the moisture now, hold on to that, especially in the middle part of the country, because I do have concerns that we could see some dryness that's already starting to pop up in places like southwest Kansas, southeast Colorado, could begin to spread as we head deeper into the warm season. And so we could see a pretty fine line between dry conditions, high plains, and relatively wet conditions in parts of the southern and eastern U.S. That would include the eastern Corn Belt.
Brad Rippey, he is chief meteorologist with U.S. Department of Agriculture, giving us a little sense on what we could expect if we transition from El Nino to La Nina. Markets and overnight electronic trade starting us off on a Monday morning. We're in the red ink right now. Numbers are next.
The Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association is kicking off a podcast series that tours specialty crop destinations across the state. Over the next several months, we'll visit strawberry patches, hop gardens, sweet corn stands, and more. WADA Executive Director Sheila Everhart says Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism has a lot to offer.
Wisconsin truly is America's agricultural tourism destination. And agricultural tourism is a way for us to promote specialty crops. It's a way for all of us farmers to work together to bring economic prosperity to our rural communities. It's a way for farmers to have an additional revenue stream to keep that farmland in production, to keep that next generation on the farm.
Learn more at gowiagtourism.com.
On Friday in Chicago, the barrel cheese was unchanged at 188. 40-pound block cheese gained a quarter of a cent to 179, while AA butter gained a penny and three quarters to 307 and a half. As we start off on Monday, right now, December new crop corn's down a nickel, 477 and three quarters. November new crop soybeans down nearly seven at 1194 and a quarter. July new crop wheat's down 11 and a half at 611. The June class three milk that goes into cheese up 13 cents at 1937. The July contract up 12, 1940 a hundredweight. Don't forget, we'll get our latest planting progress report coming up this afternoon after the close. Judging by the dust I saw, we definitely made some headway over the past 7 days' time. We'll see. There's your market update on a Monday. I'm PM Yonke.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A little patchy fog, otherwise sunny skies in mid-60s with light winds. Tonight, mostly clear, lower 40s. On Monday, mostly sunny, breezy southeast winds and highs near 70 degrees. There will be a chance of some showers and thunderstorms Monday night. It's 60 at our studios.
The Todd Alba Show.
Terry Barr, host of Slice of Wisconsin here on Civic Media. Mr. Zommers, what is that called?
My Wife is Drunk by Terry's favorite, Alvin Stasinski.
There you go.
Yeah. It's so funny to listen to a polka because you think, where did that song come from?
Right? We actually had one person text during the break there said, how about the Meadow Muffin Polka?
Todd, let's quickly write that and make it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's a fun fact for you. The average chameleon can point their eyes in two different directions. On the other hand, the average human can't. So unless you're a chameleon, there's absolutely no way you can focus on texting and driving at the same time. So don't do it. Unless you're a chameleon.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's talk about Teacher Appreciation Week and our favorite teachers and our memorable teachers. And you can share your memories either by calling or texting us at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC, especially if you'd care to give a personal shout-out to a favorite teacher or to a colleague if you're already in education yourself here. Dr. Lyerly is going to join us in 15, 20 minutes or so, and we'll be asking about her favorite instructors as well. I mean, she's told us about one of them over and over again. We've had him on. He's the author of a book, so we'll hear more from her on that and from Greg and from you as well, again, at 855-75-CIVIC. And in fact, to kick things off, let's go over to a Facebook comment from our friend Roger, who says, I have two teachers I remember fondly. My sixth grade teacher, Martha Kronholm, who introduced our class to the earth and its environment, and my 10th grade history teacher, Sherry Marsden, who helped me adjust to the culture of Wisconsin Rapids Lincoln High School, which is a good point. Sometimes the lessons are about, things in your own personal life or in your school, not necessarily, English or history or math or anything like that. Roger, thank you for sharing the comment. And again, if you'd like to give us your own memories of your own favorite teachers, 855-75-CIVIC. Before I ask Greg about his, I've got one especially that I like to share. And I may have mentioned Miss Wedge once or twice before. Eileen Wedge was her name. And she was not what you would say would be the most popular teacher at Battle Creek, what was then Battle Creek Junior High in St. Paul. It's now Battle Creek Middle School. She was the one who taught English, composition, and literature. And I think that if they instead held elections for, who did you think was the, if not the meanest teacher, then the sternest or something like that, she would have gotten some votes. And yet she was far and away my favorite teacher, because the reason that she was, she was just kind of one of those old school teachers that, not everybody got a participation trophy, especially when it comes to English and grammar. There's a right way and there's a wrong way to spell a word or to structure a sentence or, what have you. And I had already been a voracious reader coming into her classes in seventh, eighth grade, but was more so from, the books that she would assign to us, some that, are still well known, that were turned into movies as well. Things like The Red Badge of Courage, The Crucible, The Outsiders, plenty of coming of age books, including some books that are still, people still try to get some of these books banned to this day. A Hero Ain't Nothing But a Sandwich comes to mind. And frankly, for the young developing mind of a middle schooler, having that kind of exposure to somebody else's real world, maybe not necessarily my real world or yours, but to somebody else's, didn't just teach me composition and appreciation for literature. It taught me appreciation for others' lives, for diversity of worlds that I wasn't living in at that moment in kind of the 1970s suburbs, but other neighborhoods and other countries as well. So Miss Wedge made such an impression on me in terms of my appreciation for language, for getting facts right, for getting things right, and for appreciating, other worlds that are out there. And I have never been able to do any kind of a follow-up with her whenever I try to look for, a name, see if she's, still alive, if she's still out there someplace. She did a pretty good job of keeping her private life private. Some teachers are extremely colorful. I mean, they live out loud and you probably see them, in the grocery store or something around the neighborhood. And Miss Wedge was definitely not one of them, but one that I would definitely thank. There was also an assistant principal there. I think his name was Mr. Zachary, and I can't remember his first name. Big dude. Apparently, the story was, and I'm a, dorky middle school kid, so I don't know. But the story was he either had been drafted by or played for the Pittsburgh Steelers for a time. And you would totally believe it if you were to take a look at him. And you know, he was the enforcer. You did not get away with anything with him. Well, one time, Greg, I was goofing around with a couple of buddies, and we were in the cafeteria, and there's a balcony. You know, the window starts at about, you know, chest high or whatever. And then there's a balcony, not that you're supposed to go out on, you know, it's covered with gravel and everything. One of my friends takes one of my books and just, you know, friends being friends, meaning we're jerks sometimes. And he throws it out the window onto the balcony, knowing that I'd have to go out and get it. So I'm like, I crawl over the window, I go out and I get it. And as I'm about to come back in, I realize he and our other friend, they're going to shut the window on me and leave me trapped on the balcony in front of the middle school. Well, I'm not going to let that happen. So I quickly jump as fast as I can to get through the window. And they're closing the window as fast as they can. And they bash my head between the window and the windowsill. And I stumble out of it. And I am bleeding down my face from a cut on the forehead. Mm. Like you wouldn't believe. They, of course, both turn white. They're both like, oh, don't tell, don't tell. Like,
don't tell?
That's your worry right now is not to tell. And so I, you know, get some help stumbling downstairs to the school nurse's office. And all I can remember is Mr. Zachary comes in. He's like, what? So he says something like, you know, what were you up to out there? I'm just like, why are you yelling at me? I'm bleeding. I was the victim in all of this. And I expected he was like going to, you know, give me some more blood, you know, more reason to bleed. But then he got nice after that. But first, of course, he always has to, you know, what's going on up there? Nothing, just bleeding on your school. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to do that. So those were a couple of characters from middle school that definitely made an impression on me. Greg, I'm sure you've got one or two as well.
Yeah. I mean, high school had some great teachers for me personally. Like I don't have a lot of recollection of grade school and middle school teachers. They weren't bad or like transformative, but just, you know, but high school is where I met some great teachers. I would say probably one of the first ones was Mrs. Noe. Mrs. Noe is a published author. She's writing books. She taught Shakespeare in our school. And I loved it. She made me love Shakespeare. She got me to love Shakespeare. She got me to understand it. So like, you know, when I watch Shakespeare movies now, I understand the language and just really took in that world of writing and mythology. And she was just cool. She was just fun and funny and was understanding. And she understood that high school is a hard time for kids, that you're growing and you're learning with yourself. And I don't know. She was just, I was always comfortable around her. And to this day, I still love her. We're friends on Facebook and, aww. I adore her. She was one. And Mr. Cerrone, Pat Cerrone, a football coach, just a guy's guy. And he taught history and he wasn't like a son. Are you okay? When he signed me, when we were going into 11th grade, he's like, I'm putting you in AP history. I'm like, AP history? He's like, you'll get it. You're great. You're real smart. You get it. I'm like, okay, sir, I'll get it. I guess I'm just going to get it. Like, he didn't have to give me flowery language. He just was like, you do this. And I did it. And it was like really, to this day, means the world to me. Every once in a while, I look for him, see if he's still around coaching somewhere. And I haven't been able to find him. Uh-huh. But he meant a lot. And then Mrs. McHale, she taught speech and she had a thing where you had to give a speech. It was speech class and you could prepare a speech on a topic, or she had a thing where I'll pick a topic out of this bucket and then you have to talk about it, I think for 90 seconds, 2 minutes, or maybe longer. I don't remember, but I was like, I don't know why I came in with the confidence, but I was like, I'm going to pull a thing from the bucket. And I got the topic and I bombed so hard, Pat. I bombed so hard. And that was my, like, honestly, that was the first time I ever bombed on stage. And she didn't mince words. She gave me my grade back. She goes, well, you tried and you failed. So,
wow.
And I mean, it was true. And honestly,
welcome to improv.
And yeah. I think, honestly, that changed my, not so much that I was like, I want to be an improv comedian, because I would never say that out loud. But, It taught me to be prepared and to, as you like, do research, know things, be ready to speak on topics. And that was a transformative time, that class, speech class with Mrs. McHale. She was also very funny, very irreverent, didn't really like do the status quo. She lived her life and she didn't care if you were coming along for the ride.
I had a couple of speech teachers like that as well, who ran the speech team as well. At Apple Valley High School, there was Bob Strandquist and Joni Hansen, and they were very much the, you know, and it wasn't fake at all. They were kind of like the, you know, we're your friends, because they were younger,
yeah.
And they were just, they were really cool to hang around, but they also gave great coaching for speech. And, you know, early on in elementary school, there was, you know, Dave Woodbeck and Jerry Peterson. Miss Peterson was, you know, just, again, made such a wonderful impression, but also didn't take any guff, you know, from you.
Oh, yeah.
And I've told the story before, not a teacher, but a counselor. My middle school counselor, Bill Dorgan, was the one who saw something in me. And when I was having a bad day, he just says, sit there for a second, and rings up our local legislator and says, I got this guy. He's going to be your new intern. And I ended up being an intern in the state legislature, you know, in like 9th and 10th grade.
Wow,
or something like that.
That's yeah. cool.
Just because he knew I was like a little political news junkie, but I was, you know, bored in my classes, and, you know, they didn't have like AP way back then.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so he identified and didn't just, you know, wave me off and go, oh, kid, you're going to be fine. You know, yeah. actually did something about it.
I got this kid here who won't stop talking about, won't stop talking about Ford and how he fails all the time.
It was right around that time. You might be right.
Yeah. Yep.
So if you've got a favorite teacher memory that you want to text us or email us, we'd certainly welcome that at 855-75-CIVIC. Again, 855-75-CIVIC. You can call it, or you can text us, or you can text or call us through the Civic Media app as well. And let us know on this Teacher Appreciation Week, what are some of your memories of the teachers of days gone by. There's going to be a new era of passenger train service coming through Wisconsin starting later this month, on May 21st, so just about 2 weeks away. Folks might already know that Amtrak has a service running from Chicago through Wisconsin, makes a couple of stops, gets to St. Paul, and then heads all the way out to Seattle. It's called the Empire Builder. But it runs at some very odd times, late at night or early in the morning, you know, as you're getting on or off in Wisconsin, because of the way the route is structured. Now there's a new route coming, the Borealis route, which is going to have, I guess, more humane times in terms of boarding, because right now the Empire Builder leaves Chicago at 3 p.m. and gets to St. Paul just before 11 at night. Now, the Borealis is going to leave Chicago at 11 a.m. and arrive in St. Paul at 6:30 p.m. So it's throughout the course of the day that it'll be making its stops in Wisconsin. It will be stopping in Sturtevant at the Milwaukee Airport, downtown Milwaukee, Columbus, Portage, the Dells, Toma, and La Crosse, on its way through Winona, Red Wing, and then to St. Paul, Minnesota. And so while having the additional service from the Borealis is going to be really nice, again, more transportation, fewer cars on the road, it's still just a shadow of what we could be seeing in Wisconsin if things had turned out differently in 2010 and we continued to develop high-speed passenger rail in this country. And how much better off we would be, not just from a transportation standpoint, but frankly also from, you know, an emissions standpoint for the climate as well. And I have told the story as well about fighting to get a second route through Wisconsin, that instead of from Toma through La Crosse and up through Minnesota that way, it would go Toma to Eau Claire to Hudson and take care of that busy corridor. And folks are still working toward that day, and we'll hope for the best as we add yet another new route for service here in Wisconsin. Kristen Lyerly, Selena Heller, and more. Today's History Lesson next. You're up north.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Earl Ingram.
In Wisconsin, parents pay one-third of their income on child care. Think about what we need our income for. Shelter, food, clothing, gas bill, electric bill. And we're talking about one child. This is a crisis. Young families are saddled with what is almost impossible to deal with.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
State Senator Kelda Royce in Richland County. UW System made the unilateral decision to completely vacate the campus by July 1st of this year.
It's so short-sighted to think it costs a little bit more money to run it and there aren't as many students, so let's just shut it down. A smart business owner would say now is the time to invest because we know every person that comes through the door, you're going to get 40-fold the investment from how they're going to be able to give back to our state.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Just take those old records off the shelf.
Can you just picture it now, you know, that piano riff hits and skidding across the floor wearing his tidy whitey socks and a men's shirt. Greg Bach singing into a hairbrush.
Nobody wants that image in their head. Image in their head. Image in their head. Because I would have slid directly into the front door and just knocked myself out.
And then fell over.
Yeah,
I had to use you for the punchline. I couldn't use, you know, Lyerly
use
or Heller.
Yourself,
I'd be called
buddy.
Into HR for that, you know. Selena, back Kristen, how are you?
Good morning. So good. Could I just appreciate on Teacher Appreciation Week all of those teachers who taught kids how to do driver's ed?
Oh, yeah. Well, you with four boys sounds about right. Yeah.
I got accused of cheating in driver's ed.
How do you cheat in driver's ed?
She thought I was looking at someone's test. I'm like, what? These are like, when you come to a stop sign, you want to turn right. What do you want to do? If I have to look at someone else's answers, come on, man.
We had a great driver's ed teacher. We would always go through like the fast food drive-thrus, and then he would put the brake on and like, and then the person at the little inside would be like, please drive forward. And he'd be like, brake. And then, please drive forward. And he thought he was hilarious. So this is what we did. And then he would go, he would like throw somebody's pen out the window, and we would just be back in the back seat just along for fun and study halls. And then my friend would, she would get out and to get her pen, and then he would tell the kid to drive and then leave her.
You know, we just got done with a story of how I got my head smashed by somebody
Selena,
throwing things out a
good
window.
Teacher, that was a jerk. That guy.
It's kind of funny.
I'm not sure that was helpful in the moment there.
And then we would go to, he would be like, we'll just drive to your house and we can pet the dog. That's how we would do
no,
that.
No. That's a good, that's a problem. That's a problem.
It was very fun.
I think you're going to look back on that yet a few more years from now and go, you know, when Emma Reed's got her teachers and talking about them. So we kicked this all off with Bob Seger, who turns 79 years old today. Willie Mays still with us. Oh, Willie Mays is 93 today. George Clooney is 63 years old today. Meek Mill is 37 today. And now I've got a story about this day in 1965. On this day, James Brown was in a recording studio. Here's what came out the other side.
Wow! I feel good.
Not a bad day for this day in 1965. But also coincidentally that day, at a hotel in Clearwater, Florida, a young Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones, who somehow, I can't explain it, became an old Keith Richards. Nobody saw that coming. But anyway, a young Keith Richards said he couldn't sleep because there was a guitar riff running through his head over and over again. So he finally rolled a tape, then fell asleep, woke up the next morning and could not remember what he was thinking about, played the tape, and here's the guitar riff. Here's the hit that it turned into.
Oh, I've heard this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good day for song motivations on this day in 1965. Let's see, we've got historically the Eiffel Tower officially opened to the public on this day in 1889. Oh no, look what it did. I wish you could see my window.
It signed you out?
Where Google just signs you out.
Yep.
Randomly.
I still got mine.
We're talking about teachers.
Mine just signed out as well, and I just signed back in. It's just.
Well, I'm going. Before I acknowledge it, I'm going to have to read around the sign out window. Babe Ruth, then a pitcher for the Boston Red Sox on this day in 1915, hit his first ever major league home run. More would follow. The Hindenburg disaster occurred this day in 1937. Roger Bannister became the first person to run a mile in under 4 minutes on this day in 1954. And on this day in 1972, Elton John released this single. And then earlier, when we were talking about Bob Seger's birthday, and I just started to try one of those games where it's like, how many songs can you list? And I won't make you do this, but I'm just going to go through this. See how many you would have rattled off on first blush. These are Bob Seger singles. Still the Same, Old Time Rock and Roll, Roll Me Away, Fire Lake, Like a Rock, Hollywood Nights, Her Strut, Even Now, Against the Wind, Shakedown, Trying to Live My Life Without You, Shame on the Moon, You'll Accompany Me, We've Got Tonight, Main Street.
And that's not, a bad not even all of them. List.
What's that?
And that's not even all of them.
No, it's not. That's the ones I can see. I can't scroll down because Google signed me out of my document, but not a bad start.
He also wrote Heartache Tonight with the Eagles.
You know what? That was on the next page. Thank you for catching that, Greg.
That's why I said it. Whoop-bam.
Oh, that's good, Greg.
Yep, good. Good save. Dr. Lyerly, you appear to be home again.
I'm home. It's so good.
Oh my God, you sound like you are a walking nap.
We went for a very long bike ride yesterday and I am tired.
Yeah.
Oh, how many miles you put on?
About 60.
Oh. Whoa. But you've done 100 before, you said.
That's what we are ramping up to. About so we've got 60, a big century ride on June 1st.
I don't even like to drive 60 in my car.
I took a 30-minute walk with the dog on Saturday, and I was like, I've done a lot.
Can your thigh start chafing just by hearing somebody else's story? Because I feel a lot of discomfort all of a sudden. And I just, I don't know. Selena, how was your weekend?
Good. We were outside yesterday all day.
What a beautiful day. Everybody was outside yesterday.
Yeah.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, we had to make
Astronomy Day.
Yes.
Astronomy Day. Yes.
Okay. Oh, good.
At university.
We had to make a Target run late in the day after doing a whole lot of work in the garage, trying to put everything all back together, you know, after the project in there. And the Target in Eau Claire was like a ghost town. It was like deserted. You know,
really?
And Target on a Sunday normally moves along at a good little clip, but we're like, yep, it's a gorgeous day. There's like, nobody's like, nope, shopping can wait. There's things that have to get done out there. It was the fishing opener. So there were all kinds of folks, you know, out and about on the lake, or in our case, not on the lake, but next to it up at the Mallard, because our favorite, you know, resort opened up for the summer, and it was just really pleasant. So Kristen, when we come back, Selena's got a little bit on favorite teachers, including her daughter interviewing a teacher and a principal. And you're gonna tell us a bit about your own favorite teacher or two, including that one who even wrote a book. But he didn't include you in the book, by the way. I can't help but notice.
Wait, me?
Yeah, well, weren't you? I mean, he was your mentor. I mean, he wrote about
Pat. Yes. That guy.
So we've got a lot to talk about for teacher appreciation. Still time to text us at 855-75-CIVIC and tell us about one of your favorites as well. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome author of Searching for Patty Hearst, a true crime novel, Roger Rappaport, and Wisconsin comedian Tracy Schrader joins me in studio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.